Okay, good evening. We find ourselves back in 1 Thessalonians again tonight. So if you turn there, it's on page 1186. If you need a Bible, please put your hand up and a steward would gladly come and bring you one. So 1 Thessalonians, starting chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is God's word to us, which we're going to look at in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to stand and sing again as we gather, come and teach us, which is really just a prayer, asking that tonight as we look at this part of God's word, that he would do us good through it. So we're going to stand, and as we do so, we're going to take up this evening's offering, which is for the money for the gospel proclamation here in Enfield, but also overseas. So let's stand as the music begins.
Thank you.
Please take a seat, and as we do, let me pray. Father, as we've just sung, we pray that you would illumine our minds this evening, that you'd magnify Jesus to us, that you would bring your words of life to us, that we wouldn't just receive them as words, but they would receive them with power, with your spirit, and with deep conviction, that we would leave here and not the same as we entered, that we would leave here more like the Lord Jesus, encouraged to live for him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, very soon, the Antiques Roadshow will be celebrating its 40th birthday. Now, even as I look just along the front, some of you are probably thinking, what on earth is the Antiques Roadshow? I can't say that I'm a frequent watcher, but I know what goes on. It sometimes captivates my imagination if I flick it on. And the Antiques Roadshow, people bring in things either to kind of show off their kind of amazingness, or they bring it in to see whether it's the real deal or whether it's a genuine product. So picture the scene, a lady brings in an old ring. It's got some inscriptions in it, it's got some hallmarks, and she shows it to an expert. And they say, yeah, it's amazing. This is from, you know, the 18th century. It's an amazing product. It's worth loads of money. And you can imagine the joy on her face. You know, this is a real thing. But I guess also picture a man who brings in some furniture which perhaps looks really nice, for an expert to turn around and go, actually, that's not really worth anything. Maybe it's just from IKEA, I don't know. But actually, there's something about the show where you think, well, is this real? Is this genuine or is this a fake? And actually, there's real highs and real lows with that. The joy if something's genuine, and sadness and disappointment if something's not found to be real. Now, why do I start there? Well, as we look at 1 Thessalonians tonight, I want us to think about genuine faith. As if tonight we are looking for the hallmarks, the signs of a genuine believer. How can we be confident as we look around at our church, as we look at our own lives, that the faith we profess is real, it's the real thing, that it's genuine and not fake? And as Paul writes his first letter to the Thessalonians, he's writing it as an encouragement to them. And he starts in his letter by affirming that they are genuine. Have a look at verse 4 with me. It says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." He writes and he says, hey, brothers, you have the stamp of genuine faith. But before we look at the kind of the stamp, what it is, I want to consider why Paul is writing this encouragement in the first place. Because I think as we do, we'll see his best application for us, the encouragements that I hope tonight we will leave here with. It's worth noting that firstly, the Thessalonians were young believers, and perhaps somewhat isolated. We know from Acts 17 that Paul was with them for only 3 Sabbaths, which is the equivalent of how long I've been assistant pastor. It's not a long time at all. And that was then before he was sent on his way. I hope that doesn't happen just yet. So it would have been encouraging for them to know that they were on the right path and that Paul longed to be with them. We also know that they were suffering for being believers. So knowing that they had genuine faith would have been essential for them to continue as they waited for Jesus to return. Now, how about us? Well, as I look around the room, not being rude, a lot of us probably aren't early on in our Christian faith. Some of us have been Christians for a long time. And some of us may not feel the suffering that we get for Christian is severe at the moment. However, whatever length of time we have been trusting Jesus, it is essential, it's vital for us to be confident that the faith we profess is genuine. You also may not feel particularly isolated, but I'm sure as I look around the room, I'm sure there's plenty of us here who find being at work as a Christian isolating. Or perhaps even as you go home, you go to homes where Jesus isn't known, and actually it can be quite a lonely place. And so for you, it's vital to have confidence that your faith is genuine. You may or may not also feel the heaviness of suffering at the moment, but we know from the scriptures that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So store up these encouragements for such a time. So my prayer really this evening is that we would leave here tonight with assurance of genuine faith so that we would be more effective in our walk with the Lord Jesus. So let's get into the passage and have a look at the hallmarks or signs of a genuine believer. And I want to point out three signs that I believe that this passage shows us. Three signs that will breed confidence in you that you are chosen by God. Nothing of which is of your own doing or making, but it is a stamp, it's a mark, it's a hallmark, a work that God has started in all who are truly trusting in Jesus. Have a look again with me at verse 4. So Paul writes, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." Where's Paul's confidence coming from? Well, look how it goes on in verse 5. "Because our gospel, that is the message that Jesus came to die on a cross for sinners like me and has now risen to glory, it's this message, this gospel, came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." You see, Paul's confidence of their chosen status is actually based on how they received the gospel. And not only that, but on the obvious impact that it had on their lives. So tonight, this works. So signs of a genuine believer. I want to say the first one is as receiving the word of God as the word of God. Receiving the word of God as it is, as the word of God. To the Thessalonians, as Paul spoke of Jesus, as he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, they listened and believed that his message wasn't just a testimony from a man, but that these words were the words of God that needed to be thought about, and not just that, but acted upon. They received the gospel not just as words that passed through one ear and out the other, but with power, it says, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Now, I've wrestled with these verses, wondering whether this kind of triplet, this the power, Holy Spirit, and deep conviction, whether they're different things or just an emphasis. But I actually think, either way, the point is that God, the Holy Spirit, has moved in their hearts and helped them to receive the gospel with all its weight and with all its magnitude, so much so that they're forced to act upon what they have heard. Take a look at the end of verse 9, because you get a picture of this. These are the words of others reporting what happened to the Thessalonians as they received the gospel. It says this, "They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." So sign number one of their genuineness is that they received the word of God as the word of God. And this action is described in three ways. I don't know why it's always three points, three things here, but it seems to be today. But firstly, they're described as having turned. And this is a wonderful picture of repentance for us. They have turned to the one who is true and living. And in effect, they've stopped following worthless idols, which in effect are dead. They're a lie. They're false. They've secondly started to serve God. And note, serving is active. It wasn't always my experience as a teacher, but a good student serves their teacher by listening to them, by doing what they say, and actually trying to find out what pleases them and then doing that. And then the third thing we're given here is that they are waiting for the Lord Jesus to return from heaven, the one who rescues undeserving sinners like me from judgment that is coming. And actually, I want to say, just like serving, waiting here is also active. So you can imagine some forms of waiting are just kind of, you know, maybe sitting, twiddling thumbs. But this isn't the kind of waiting that it's talking about here. I mean, think of a guard at Buckingham Palace. Now, they might look sometimes like they're just standing and they're not really doing anything. Maybe they're twiddling their thumbs. But actually, what they're doing is they're looking out. They're looking what's ahead. They're looking, they're observing all the time. It's active waiting. And this is the kind of waiting that the Thessalonians are about. And as Paul looks on, he says, "We know that God has chosen you. Why? Because your genuineness cannot be hidden. It's there for all to see." And this receiving of God's word is the start of belief. But I also want to say that tonight, it's also the continuation of the Christian life. A follower of Jesus doesn't simply receive the gospel and the weight of it and the first time and then move away from it. But by God's grace, they always want to turn to God's way of thinking, to turn to God's way, God's call upon their lives, to do as he would have them do. And in so doing, continue to put to death the idols of their hearts. Now, we'll think a little bit more later about idols, but idols are essentially just God substitutes, putting something else in God's rightful place. Now, if Paul was writing a letter to Enfield Town Community Church today, would the way we receive God's word be something he points to and say, "Yeah, I know that God's chosen you, because you receive God's word as God's word"? Now, I guess in many ways that could be a real challenge to us. You know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We're still sinners. But remember that this is God's work in those who believe. As we hear God's word, are we praying that it would come with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction, that we would be ever increasing in our likeness of the Lord Jesus as we wait for him to return? I simply want to say at this point too that this letter is here for us to be encouraged. By God's grace, many of you here do receive God's words as it is and are seeking to live it out with his help and are growing day by day in your walk with him. And we shouldn't shy away from encouraging each other with that. Encouraging each other with these truths and thanking God for the times when others in the church family have helped us in this way. I mean, when was the last time we said, or actively said, you know, "Hey, Courtney, I thank God this week that you've turned to him, turned to God from worthless idols, and that I'm praying that you'd continue to do that and continue to live for him." Or, "Hey, Sandrine, I thank God this week that you're seeking to serve him, seek and serve the living and true God despite your busy timetable. Keep going in that." Or, "Hey, Chris, I thank God this week that you sent that encouraging text that helped me to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus as I wait for him." Now, we have to get the emphasis right. We're praising God because it's his work in us. But may I encourage you to actively encourage each other in this way, in this sign, as we've seen this sign of genuineness, as we see people receiving the word of God as the word of God. Let's encourage each other with that, because that's a sign that God is at work. So, signs of a genuine believer. Sign number one, receiving the word of God as the word of God. And secondly, imitating gospel living despite suffering. It's interesting how, as Paul describes how the Thessalonians received the gospel, in verse 5, he immediately then moves on to describe how that Paul doesn't feel the need to say anything about it. He says, "Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it." And considering Paul normally has loads to say, and you just look through his letters, that's actually quite astonishing. And the point is, he says, "Brothers, I don't need to convince you of your genuineness." Why? Well, because others have pointed it out already. Others have noted the dramatic change in your lives, that you have left the idols of your past, and you have turned to serve the living and true God. That's a big thing. That's a huge change. And a costly one too, as we remember, they faced severe suffering. And in fact, Paul not only confirms their kind of genuineness, but he holds them up and says, "Look, you're a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. God is truly at work in them. And I pray also in us too." And I think that's why we need the encouragement of others in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Not to inflate our pride when we do things well, because it's not about us. It's about what God is doing. Yet the encouragements from others about our walk cannot be understated. Recently, I met with an estate agent. He came around to our flat. If you're interested, let me know afterwards. He came around and we got talking. He said, "You know, what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to become the assistant pastor." He said, "Oh, what does that involve?" I said, "Still trying to work that out." But no, he said, "You know, a lot of my job is just telling people about the Lord Jesus, telling others to turn from idols, telling them to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son Jesus." Now, as I was talking to him, I could see his brain was kind of whirring a little bit. And then he said to me, "Oh, do you know what? I've met someone from your church before. I'm pretty sure I have." And he said, "Yeah, there was this guy, 92 years old, in center of town, and he was trying to tell me about Jesus. And he gave me a leaflet, and he was telling me that I should come to church. And he clearly loved Jesus." And I was like, quick process of elimination. I was like, "Grenville, that's Grenville." And he said, "Yeah, that was his name." Now, I told Grenville this story. Where is Grenville? I told Grenville this story to encourage him. And I hope it did. And I hope it encourages you. Because as we seek to live for Jesus and tell others about him, we will be noticed. We'll be noticed for that faith we have in him. And ultimately, our prayer is that God would be glorified in that. Are you recognized as a follower of Jesus at your workplace? As we receive God's word as God's word, and as we imitate gospel living, it will be noticed. Not always commented on. They might not necessarily say something to you, but it will always be noticed. Because gospel living is radical and produces recognized fruit. Think of the description again of repentance in verse 9 and 10. As we turn to God from idols, people will notice. And again, to be clear, idols are God's substitutes. They are anything we put in the way of God. So, for example, if someone pursues a career or they spend all their time seeking a relationship rather than seeking God, then actually that's something that can become an idol. The Bible is clear that we all serve something or someone. And if we have turned to God from idols, it will be noted. People might not use that language, but that's what it is. It's the picture. And as we seek to serve the living and true God, by listening to him and obeying what he says, it will be noted. And as we wait for Jesus to return, people will think we're weird, and it will be noted. But these are signs of genuine faith. So be encouraged. So signs of a genuine believer, receiving the word of God as the word of God, imitating gospel living despite suffering, and producing recognized fruit. I hope as we've looked at these signs of a genuine believer tonight that you will leave here encouraged. Not encouraged about your own ability or performance, but because if these signs are starting to appear in your life or are growing in your life, then God is at work and we should praise him. I started by talking about the Antiques Roadshow and the joy of seeing something genuine, the joy of finding the hallmarks of something valuable. Well, tonight we've seen the hallmarks of a believer. We could even say, I've kind of underlined it, RIP, which often means rest in peace, which I guess there's some kind of truth in that. But these are the marks. Do you have these marks? Do you have receiving the word of God as the word of God? Imitating gospel living despite suffering? Producing recognized fruit? Is RIP on you? Are these signs evident in your walk with Jesus? If tonight you wouldn't call yourself a believer, or you're struggling to see these signs in your life, then talk to whoever brought you along tonight, or come and grab me afterwards, because I'd love to talk to you about the joy of following the Lord Jesus. My prayer is that you would have the same experience as the Thessalonian Christians, and really the same experience of every believer, that you would turn to God from idols, turn to him because he's our creator, he's our maker, to turn to him and away from anything else that you'd put in his rightful place. And then to start to serve the true and living God with his help. To start living his way with his help. And to wait for his Son from heaven. What glorious freedom that you can walk away with tonight. A freedom of being set free from a life that inevitably leads to God's judgment and to death. And a freedom to start living a life that you're designed to live, and will continue to live when Jesus returns. So there it is, signs of a genuine believer. I hope that is encouragement to you this evening. Let's encourage each other with these truths after the service. Let's pray now and ask for God's help in that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you that it is always right to thank you for anything good we see in our lives, because it is your work, not ours. We are believers because of your grace, not by works, so that we will only ever boast in you. Father, thank you that every believer's experience is that you've brought your gospel to their ears, that you bring deep convictions of its truth, and that you start to change us. Thank you that all who are trusting Jesus in here tonight can say we have turned to you, the living and true God. Please help us to continue to receive your word as it is, to continue to imitate your Son Jesus, who died for us, and to produce recognized fruit. We pray that in all this you would be honored and you would be glorified. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.